Let's go talk to Ed. Ed Ring, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I think this is your article, Venice Beach's Monster on the Midway. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's what it's been dubbed by its opponents. They actually are calling it the Monster on the Median, which is my mistake, but both sort of make sense because it's in the exact middle of Venice. It's a strip of land, 3 acres, 200 feet wide and 600 feet long. It ends literally a block from the beach. This monster building is going to cover up part of the famed Venice canals, and it's for the homeless.
Ooh, how do the people that live in the canals feel about that?
Well, everyone in Venice that's been watching this get worse and worse over the last few years is pretty fed up, although there's not a lot of, you know, no one's really certain how to fix this problem yet. But one thing that absolutely won't work is building your way out of the problem when you're spending $500,000 or more per unit of permanent support.
Oh, that's up to $700,000 now per unit, by the way.
Well, it is by the beach because you need special work on the foundation.
Oh, and also, how about the Coastal Commission? Where are they in all this?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you have to go through that mess?
Well, there was a bill passed just a couple of weeks ago in the legislature, Assembly Bill 1197, that exempted, just in the city of Los Angeles, by the way, it exempted permanent supportive housing applications from CEQA requirements in order to streamline the process because of the urgency of the homeless problem. And you're right, at $750,000 a unit, which most estimates say that for this structure, that's actually on the low side. You're looking at a $100 million building. You're looking at, when you include the value of this property,
right,
you're literally spending $1 million, or actually it came out to about $1.1 million, and that could be the low estimate. That's per unit. That's per homeless unit, $1 million. It's like winning the lottery.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a homeless person and you happen to get one of those units, you've basically been handed $1 million.
Plus you get the nice gym downstairs. I mean, because, you know, you need the gym as well.
Well, you just can't possibly solve the problem this way. And you know, it's one thing to argue that we have to all do our share and then we have to help by giving people housing somewhere. You know, that's arguable, but you can't do it if you're going to be spending $500,000 to $1 million per unit. There's 1,000 homeless people just in Venice, you know, so at 1,000 people at $1 million a year, that's $1 billion. And
yeah,
that just won't solve the problem. It would attract more homeless people.
Well, of course. So, and I think that's what's happening. And I think the frustration is, what about all the people who literally have worked hard and saved all their lives to live down in Venice or any of the other beach communities and has spent an arm and a leg working hard in multiple jobs for that privilege to do that? And then all of a sudden, all these homeless people have all of these advantages and you're going to get $1 million, apartment. And, you know, gym beachside for doing nothing, for being homeless and not like where the fairness there, that I think that's where a lot of the people are like, wait a minute, I've worked hard. This is my nest egg. I've put my entire life into where I live. And then now this, I think that's where a lot of frustration is coming to, because it's not getting any better. They put $1 billion into it last year between the city and the county, and it's only gotten worse. It's almost, you know, homelessness has only gone up almost 20%. And as we know, every day, more and more homeless are coming to California and Los Angeles in particular.
You know, it's also not fair to the people that want to visit the beach. those 3 acres are really the only spacious parking area for people who want to visit Venice Beach that live inland, and they not only aren't going to have a safe beach, that's already been a problem, but now they're not going to have anywhere to park. And, you know, this goes again to the cost of the building and to what the real theme here is, corruption.
Yes.
You know, this is nobody's necessarily, I don't know about any laws being broken, but the laws themselves are being exploited to spend way, you know, more money than needs to be spent to solve the problem.
Right, that is the story here, because the real need of these people is for mental health services. And unfortunately, the way the rhetoric is spoken, you're not allowed to say mental health services. You have to say wraparound services, to which I constantly respond, that's all we ever did when we ran a psychiatric hospital. We offered wraparound. That's what you do in a psychiatric hospital is wraparound services.
But, I mean, you can even say, you can, you know, a lot of people are talking about, well, this and that, and it's hard to compare. But you can compare apples to apples. Reverend Andy Bales with the Mission Downtown was able to put up one of those sprung structures. He did it for a third of the cost at Los Angeles, who took the contractor, that's the only one in Los Angeles that is allowed to build these structures, took it and did one for the city of Los Angeles, cost three times the amount. Huh. Why is that?
So, Ed, we're going to have you address the corruption when we get back. If people have calls, it's 800-222-5222. Ed Ring is the fellow at the Center for American Greatness, co-founder of California Policy Center. Senior fellow. Is there a website, Ed?
Well, there is. amgreatness.com and then californiapolicycenter.org.
And maybe you can also help us understand what the federal government might be able to do to help out. That's Leanne Treadham, Dr. Drew. It's Midday Live, AM 790 KBC. Midday Live, Leanne Treadham, Dr. Drew. We're speaking to Ed Ring, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Greatness. And Ed, you were going to tell us a little bit about the nature of the corruption and what the feds might be able to do to help out.
Well, the corruption is multifaceted, but you can boil it down to one single thing. Everything costs about 10 times as much as it should, and that's generous. It's really more like about 100 times what it should cost.
And why is that? How does that happen? It's hard for an average person to understand how that's possible.
Well, you know, you don't have to put homeless shelters and permanent supportive housing in the most expensive real estate on the planet. You can start right there. And then, of course, you don't have to have such elaborate facilities. When you're building apartments for homeless people, and, you know, there's a percentage of homeless people who truly deserve help, but they don't have to have an apartment that's better in terms of square footage and amenities than an apartment that somebody who's working hard and paying for lives in. So just downscaling the requirements and changing the locations gets you a long ways towards solving these problems. And there's other obstacles that raise cost. There's a lot of middlemen involved in this whole thing. Just the process of building homeless housing, from the financing to the permitting to the design and to the back and forth with all of the permits, you're probably doubling the cost right there.
Mm. And I think what people also, and this is not said a lot, and I think this is just what just normal people think about. How do you know, you know, when you build expensive million-dollar apartments with gyms that you and I are working hard for to try to pay our rent or our mortgage or whatever it is in the same location, and these people come in, I mean, if they're not leaving, how do we know that they are deserving of that? Not deserving, but we know that there are a lot of people who are just addicts or that are lazy or that probably could clean themselves up and go get a job, but they don't want to. You know what I mean? So that taints it for the other people who really do need services. So it's really hard because then it taints the whole pool. You see what I'm saying? So we're going, okay, you're going to build these million-dollar apartments right on the beach where everybody else has worked really hard and they're living, you know, multiple people in an apartment or a house and a husband and wife are working jobs and, you know, just trying to live the life that they've always dreamed of. And then this comes in and it's like, well, do they, like you said, do they deserve that? And then how do we know that people that are coming in taking these things are really in need of that? I don't know. It's just hard to figure all of that out.
It boils down to who's going to get these apartments.
No, right.
It really boils down.
Right. And you know, are the severely mentally ill or you know, is it just the lazy people or just the addicts that are going to say, I'll clean up? I mean, is it fair? Is it right?
There's a lot to chew on there. I mean, if you look at the 140 units, 68 are permanent supportive housing, 34 are general affordable housing, and 34 are affordable lived work lofts for artists. So, you know, how do the artists get selected? How do they decide who gets affordable housing? And of course, then the half there, the 68 units of permanent supportive housing, you know, they're getting Proposition 2 funds. That's the proposition that was just approved that takes money from Prop 63 of 2005, the millionaire's tax, and allocates it for housing. And because it's housing for the homeless, but it's coming from funds that were designed to help the mentally ill, they're going to have to include a percentage in those permanent supportive housing of people who are severely mentally ill. Now, imagine what that's like. You've got 140 units, and you've got, you know, probably 20 or 30 units with people that have severe mental illness, and then you've got families that need help and need supportive housing or affordable housing, you know, living, I don't think they'll be living right down the hall, but they're living in the same building, and they're going to have to manage all of that. I mean, the whole thing's a contrivance.
Right. And what
did
you?
That's where the corruption comes in, because it doesn't matter if you're getting to spend all this money and collect all these fees. You know, go ahead and bake everything in there that you can with no common sense.
Of course. And sorry, what did you say about the artist thing? What was that?
The proposal currently calls for 34 of the units to be so-called live work lofts for artists.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Wow. I mean, no offense, but yeah. Like, you know, everybody claims to be an artist, but, you know, artists need to get a job too while you're working on your art. I'm sorry. Because
I mean,
you know what I mean? We've had plenty of people call in and go, well, I'm an artist and I'm living out of my car. And so like, and I'm like, well, you know, you need to get a job and pay your rent too while you're
marketing this.
Right. Yeah, you're enabling also, people to be like, I'm an artist. I'm going to come to LA, live in the most expensive beachfront property, and they're going to give me a $1 million apartment so I can work on my art and I'm not going to have to work a real job.
This design is a giant concrete box. And if you look at the artist's renderings, they call it, the critics call it prison chic. And the thing that's most reminiscent of prisons is the tiny windows. And the reason there's tiny windows is to stop the planet from warming, you know, because you don't want to lose too much heat through the windows. So that's one of the
sure it's not
concepts.
Anybody breaking into your apartment?
Do you also know that when you have the kinds of mental illness that are represented on the streets, nothing is worse for them and more intolerable than four walls without air, without window? That's
what they really react negatively.
Well, to that.
Come on, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Nobody asked anybody, a professional, about what they need.
Incredible.
But what the federal government can do about this is simply set a limit on the amount they'll reimburse per shelter bed and per permanent supportive housing, and let the cities and counties and states sort it out. If you say that you're going to get federal funds, but if you spend more than $10,000 per sheltered bed, which seems like that still ought to be an awful lot, but they're spending $100,000 on the municipal...
Andy, Reverend Bales can do it for $10,000 a bed.
Easy.
In Venice, it's coming out now, the latest estimates, to over $100,000 per shelter bed.
We're going to have to leave it there.
And what does temporary permanent housing mean? It's going to stay there forever?
We're going to leave it like that. It's 800-222-5222. And where can people go to read more?
You can find that on americangreatness.com or amgreatness.com.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's Midday Live, AM 790 KBC.